Good evening. I hope you're well. Please join me in saying Yana Bakoa. Anna Bakoa, Gedula Chimincha, Tati Terura, Aleph Bet Gimel, Yud Tav Tzadi. The gematria of these six letters is 506, which is the same gematria as the phrase Ahavat Hinam, unconditional love. Kabel rinat amcha sagvenu taharenu nora. Kufresh ayin sintet nun. These six letters form two three-letter Hebrew words, kra, which means to tear up, satan, which is the energy force from the other side that the English word Satan comes from. But Satan is not the image that is in Western society of a red devil with a pitchfork and a tail. Satan is an energy force that through its process gives us free choice. Tearing up the Satan is what this sequence of letters helps us do. We can also rearrange these six letters into two other three-letter words, Sha'ar Katan, small gates, and it's a reminder to control and to put guards on our gates, on our eyes, so we don't see images that are not helpful to us. We don't hear Lashon Hara, evil speech. We don't smell foul odors. And we don't speak Lashon Hara through our mouths. We don't put food that is treif, that is impure, into our bodies. This is all part of the guards that we need to put on our small gates. There's also the two letters of the month of Adar, the Kuf, which is the double agent, the letter that feeds the negative side just enough to keep it alive and keep it giving us free choice, and the Gimel was created the planet Jupiter, which is Tzedek in Hebrew, righteous, and the Kuf, the double agent, which created the planet, not the planet, but the mazel, the astrological sign of Pisces, of the Dagim, which means fishes in Hebrew. The Kuf and the Gimel. Na gibor dorshei yehudcha kevavat shamrem. Nun gimel dalet yud kaf shin. Nun gimel dalet is a sequence of letters that has a part of a gematria that's equal to 57, which is the Hebrew word zan, or Parnassah. Parnassah is not a normal word we use in English, but its meaning is sustenance. What is sustenance? It's fulfillment of our desires. And we can use that sequence to help achieve that fulfillment. Yud Kaf Shin is a sequence that allows us to take back the energy that we've given to the negative side through our mistakes. Barhem Tacharem Rachamei Sidkacha Tamigam Lem. Nun Gimel Dalet. No, it's Betet Resh, Tzadi Tav Gimel. Chasim Kadosh Birotucha Nael Adatach. Chet Kuf Bet, Tet Nunayan. Yud Gimel Lamed, Pei Zayin Kuf. These six letters make up a sequence of letters that we can utilize to help speed the spreading of the wisdom of Kabbalah during this, the sixth millennium. Shavatenu Kabel Ushmati Akatenu Yodea Talumot Shinkufav Tzadiyutah. The gematria of the first two letters of that sequence, Shin and Kuf, is 400, which represents the four worlds in their complete perfection of 10 Sephirot within 10 Sephirot. The other four letters, the Vav Tzadi Yud Tav, has a gematria of 506. We're familiar with that from the first word verse. 506 is the same gematria as Ahavat Hinam, unconditional love. And this teaches us that perfection only comes through implementing unconditional love. Unconditional love is not, oh, I love you so much, do anything you want. I love you so much, whatever you do is okay. This is not unconditional love. Unconditional love is sharing without an expectation of receiving in return. It's sharing what somebody needs, not what somebody wants. Unconditional love is something that takes a lot of thought. And the removal of any connection to our ego when we're involved in that process of sharing unconditional love. And the eighth verse, the one that we say silently, which really isn't silently, it's said softly in a whisper. so that only I can hear it. So sometimes I say it loudly, like tonight, because I'm sharing a teaching. In the frame of teaching, we say, in a whisper, Baruch Shem Kivot Malchuto Le'olam Vayed. Now I'm going to read from the Zohar, from the section of Ki Tisa. Vayhi Noam Adonai Eloheinu Aleinu Ma'aseh Yadeinu Kunaneh Aleinu Ma'aseh Yadeinu Kunanehu B'nei Chovadi Avdu Amad Dil Bar Ve'ish Tatafu Be'amah Kadisha Ve'imah Havu Diktiv Kum Aseh Lanu Elohim Elohim Vadai Kivod Yisrael Da Ihu Desharya Alaihu Ki'ima Al Benin Vedahu Raza Diktiv Ve'amiru Et Kimodam Betav Nitshor Da Kivodam De Israel Ima Dilchon Vedahu Diktiv Kala Kavod Tedarmu Lishkinta te it dele begaluta imchon bealda de amiru et kivodam bema betavnit shor. This is verse 56 in the parasha of Ki Tisa. It's in the section number 10. Now therefore let me alone is the title of section 10. The translation of verse 56. My children, the sins that the outside people, namely the mixed multitude, performed, and which the holy people joined in, was a sin against the mother, which is Malchut, as is written. Up, make us Elohim. A verse from Shemot chapter 32. It is Elohim for sure, meaning that he should make them a strange Elohim, instead of Malchut, that is called Elohim. Instead of the glory of Israel, namely Malchut, that hovered over them like a mother over her children. And this is the secret of, thus they exchanged their glory for the likeness of an ox. A verse from Tehillim 106, verse 20. This is the glory of Israel, meaning their mother, which is Malchut. This is the meaning of honor is departed, a verse from the 1 Samuel chapter 4, that they caused the Shekinah to be exiled with them. Therefore they exchanged their glory for what? For the likeness of an ox. There are so many mysteries and secrets in this verse, in this whole idea of the golden calf, that I really can't take the time tonight to explain it. Just understand that we save the verses from the Zohar in order to bring the energy of balance, the energy of all positive things. And the idea of the mixed multitude is the uncorrected parts of our soul. A very deep thought. So tonight we're doing a class, the third I believe, maybe the fourth, on Ruach HaKodesh. And before I start, does anybody have any questions? Okay. Last week we discussed things that we need to do to prepare our bodies and our souls to receive and grow into the consciousness of Ruach HaKodesh. And I'm not going to repeat them, but I'm going to bring them onto a more specific level in this class. We need to be clean. You know, we can't have stomach problems, indicating that our digestive system isn't working properly. Why not? It's inside our body. But what's inside your body that is not clean, that you're having dealing trouble expressing out, is going to hold you back. We need to have a clean location. We need to have a location in a building that does not have any steel or iron in the building at all. That means in most cities, the modern buildings are going to be a preclusion from connecting to the highest levels. We will still be able to connect, but not to the higher levels. The best place to go for meditation, the best place to go to work on ourselves, is to walk in a forest. Rabbi Nachman of Berdichev, he teaches at least an hour a day you should be walking in the forest screaming at God. Not talking to God, screaming is the word he uses. Now, it's not that God can't hear us, so why would he tell us to scream? And it, one of the understandings of that teaching is to understand that screaming is an expression of passion, of true and deep desire. I want to connect to God. I want to be close to God. Screaming is an expression of that. If I say I want to be close to God, or I say, I want to be close to God, Rabbi Nachman teaches for an hour a day, walk in the forest. But in our cities and our modern technology, we don't have access to forests that easily. Certainly, going out and camping is a way to do that. But one has to be careful. One has to be trained in how to live in the camp. A camp that is built of iron, like a motorhome or a trailer. Aluminum is not iron, and many of those are made from aluminum rather than iron. But sitting inside the trailer versus sitting in front of a campfire versus walking in the forest, I will leave that to you to understand what I'm trying to say. I would like to just let you continue to understand the things that we need to do. We need to have a place that is prepared for our connection to Hashem, wherever that is. One, that place is inside us. Others, that place is outside us, where we physically are located. Both need to be prepared in order to reach connection with Hashem. So now, here is a technique, and I'm really going to describe a technique that has been utilized over the centuries, and I do mean centuries. In the Talmud, it describes this technique. In the Zohar, it describes this technique. many of the sages in the Middle Ages describe this technique. And it's called calling a Megid. A Megid is a Hebrew word that means storyteller. A Megid is literally an entity, usually our higher soul, but not always, an entity that takes over our voice. An entity that just starts talking and giving us information. Many times, the person who is being utilized, the person who is doing the actions I will be describing to call the Megid, many times that person is not conscious of what he or she is saying. And it's good to actually to tape or record in with some mechanism what is being said, because it is an entity. It is not something from our world as we know it. A Megid is a higher being, as we've said. It's a being that's been given permission to give you wisdom. The technique to find this Megid, to call this Megid, is really very simple. You take a Hebrew verse from the Talmud, or verses such as a Mishnah, a full paragraph, or you take a few verses from Psalms, or you take a few verses from the Tanakh itself, which Psalms is included in the Tanakh, and you start saying these verses over and over and over, more and more rapidly. You say them, you read them and say them. You let your consciousness expand. Go as you say these words. And literally, the writer of those words, whether it's King David in the Psalms, Moshe in the Chumash, the Mishnah, whoever was the person who is quoting the Mishnah from the Talmud, that entity, that person who has changed from our physical world, that person will come and communicate to you in many different ways. But the most prevalent form is for that person to just start talking in your voice box. Sounds a little frightening, and that's why people lose consciousness, because the entity that is taking over the voice box is a higher spiritual level. But you have called the Megid. You have asked for this. This is not something that somebody comes in and takes possession of you. You are asking for this. So what is it you're asking for? Wisdom. Now the question is this wisdom coming from the negative side or the positive side? Why did you call this person? Why did you call for a Megid? What is your motivation? The system works the same for both sides of the system. The negative side, if you have a negative consciousness, a negative entity will come and give you wisdom. It's false wisdom, but it is wisdom. In the long run, it will turn out to be false. It will turn out to be a lie. It will turn out to not be beneficial to you. calling with a positive consciousness. The reason that you are calling is to be closer to God. And your actions during the day prior to doing this technique was positive, wanting to share. Your reason for wanting to hear this information, you are open to hear the truth, even if it hurts you. What do I mean by that? You've all heard the adage, the truth hurts, and the truth does hurt. In what way does the truth hurt? When we think we've done a positive action and somebody makes us realize that we've hurt somebody without wanting to, but the effect of our action was hurtful to someone, how can it be positive with a negative outcome? It can't. It's because somewhere in within us, there was this desire to receive for oneself alone that corrupted our positive attitude, our positive reason for doing this certain action during the day. And that will impact which Magid you call. Because every one of us has the evil inclination and the good inclination. The Hebrew Yetzer HaTov, the Yetzer Hara. Which side prevails? That's up to us. That's up to our actions. So we need to know how to ask this Magid, which side are you from? And we need to know how to interrogate this Magid to determine the truth, because the negative side is very sly. It's very careful. Its job is to confuse you. Its job is to lengthen your process. You repeat over and over this Mishnah. You repeat over and over these verses from Tehillim until you space out, until you are not there. There is something else speaking with your voice. You can ask it questions consciously, but not with the voice, because you don't control the voice box. But you'll hear it say the same question you thought of, because it is communicating with delta and epsilon waves called brain waves. There are alpha brain waves, beta brain waves, I forget what the third one is called, delta brain waves, epsilon brain waves, five levels. EKGs, electro brain machines, which we've seen the graphs in our doctor stuff. These machines were designed, and the technology is starting to be utilized and expanded upon and learned by this Western society. These machines track the brain waves. It's the delta and the epsilon brainwaves that are used to communicate between spiritual entities and our physical entities. So if you did this with one of those machines hooked up to your brain, you would see those waves as you speak in sometimes a language you don't know, usually in the language you do. And you will be asking questions, and the entity will be answering you. But you need to be able to judge yourself honestly. Which side did you call? side did you reach out to? And it's all a function of your consciousness. Now, in the prophets, it describes King Nebuchadnezzar, the person who destroyed the second temple. Excuse me, the first temple. And his punishment was to live 7 years as an animal. During the day, he was a man, made kingly decisions, spoke to people in a language that they all could understand. But at night, he roamed the forest as an animal, killing as an animal, unable to communicate as a man. There are writings and teachers who teach, and I don't know the truth of this, I'm just repeating what I have heard, what I have learned from various sources, that the watcher angels referred to in Daniel, the watcher angels communicated this punishment, this judgment on Nebuchadnezzar. They communicated it using delta and epsilon brainwaves and took over his body and caused him to live as an animal in the forest. Now, I find it interesting that the gentleman Hussein, who used to be the leader of Iraq, who was dethroned by the American army marching into Iraq, and who hid out for months while the army searched for him. And when he was found, he was living, reliving, as an animal in an underground lair. Why do I say reliving? Because he announced 15, 20 years ago that he told us he was the reincarnation of Nebuchadnezzar. And Nebuchadnezzar lived out his life in that way, as an animal in the forest, living in his lair. This is all recorded in the Book of Prophets. So what is the purpose of this tool that you are being given tonight? It's a technique of how to draw a magid, how to get closer to God by receiving additional wisdom, providing you have the merit to understand what you're receiving, providing you have the merit to work and evaluate this wisdom. It's there for you. Are you ready to proceed? Proceed with caution. If you have any untoward experiences, if you're not sure if the entity you're hearing that you're recording, because you many times will not be able to remember what you said. If you have any of these experiences, if you proceed with them, if you're not sure which verses or Mishnah to start with, to work with, call me, email me, and I'll be happy to give you some suggestions that would be appropriate for you and your soul. But truthfully, you know yourself. What passage resonates with your soul? That's the passage to use. Now I'm going to tell you another technique. And some of you will laugh, whether you are listening to this recording or hear it afterwards. Some of you will laugh because it's a wives' tale, it's superstition. And I'm here to tell you as a teacher, as an experience on my own, it's not superstition. In the Zohar, in the portion of Yitro, the first 12 sections for sure, I think 13, discusses face and palm reading. Now, what is face and palm reading? It's very simple. All of your character traits, all of your actions are available to everyone in the world to see and to know who you are. You cannot hide your internal essence from someone who's knowledgeable in these arts. They are science, but we lack the merit to have a science teacher of this caliber, so we refer to them as arts. There are practitioners of face reading and palm reading. Is it the same as the Eastern face and palm reading? Most of them just read palms because most of the changes that take place in someone manifest in the hands first, prior to them manifesting on the face. But there are changes in the lines of your forehead, in your eyes, in the lines of your palm, in the way your fingers relate to your palms. All of these aspects are real and are available for people to learn in order to learn about the people around them. One has to be careful because seeing a change in someone's face implies a judgment. You are the one judging the other person. Well, but they're the one creating this change. How am I judging them? I'm just describing the truth. I will leave you to consider how truth is judgment. And always remember, if we are judging another, then God judges us. If we are judging ourselves, then God does not judge us. And so the technique that I'm going to describe is to truly know that on your forehead is a letter. It goes and it comes. They change which letter. Each of those letters teach us, if we're able to see them, about our day, about our actions, about our consciousness. And these letters do not lie. We may lie to ourselves, but the letters will not lie. There are stories told about the Ari, Rabbi Isaac Luria, who people used to come to him. He was only 2 years in this town of Sfat. He came to Sfat to teach one person, Rabbi Chaim Vital. One of them was a reincarnation of Cain, which was Rabbi Chaim Vital, the student of the Ari. And one of them was a reincarnation of Abel, which was the Ari himself. They came together to learn. The Ari was told that he came to this world to teach Chaim Vital and no others. Chaim Vital would not accept that and wanted others to learn with them. And so the Ari had many students. Some say at least 10, some say more. But all of those people, he repeatedly asked Chaim Vital to stop bringing to the classes because it was wasting their time. They were not, these people, while good students and knowledgeable in Torah, were not able to keep up with the level of Rabbi Vital and the Ari. The Ari knew he had a short time to accomplish this teaching. Rabbi Chaim Vital lived on the terms like we all do. Everyone is going to be here forever. And the truth is, we are. Unfortunately, sometimes we separate for periods of time as we progress from one lifetime to the next. You have letters on your forehead. The technique to be able to see those letters is between midnight and 2, 3 in the morning. Now this is Chatzot midnight, the middle of the night. And I need to give you some explanation of how Hebrew time differs from your watch. There are 24 hours in a day, but they are not always the same length of time. Some days are shorter and some days longer. We all understand this. The 12 hours of daylight is divided into 12 hours. So, how long is a minute? 12 times 60 is 720. The length of the day is divided into 720 increments. Sometimes that increment will be equivalent to a Western minute and 15 seconds. And sometimes that increment will be equivalent to 50 seconds in the Western world. Chatzot, midnight, the middle of the night, is based on how long the day is. And so, equivalently, in the summer you may find that midnight is at 1:30 in the morning. And in the winter, you may find that midnight is at 11:15 in the evening. There are schedules, there are places to go, and if you have any interest in this, contact me and I will direct you. Between Chatzot and 3 hours later is the best time to try and see the letters on your forehead. And the way to do that is in a dark room with a mirror and a candle backlighting you, a candle behind you, so that your shadow is what you see in the mirror. You see your face in the mirror, but you also see a shadow. And if you sit still for however long it takes, you will start to see letters. And those letters do not stay a long time. And sometimes they do. It depends on what your actions were. But each of the Hebrew letters will be seen on your face. Those Hebrew letters are telling us about your actions. Remember, you are judging yourself, so God will not judge you. monitoring this, recording these letters, doing this every week, every day, every month, doing this, monitoring the changes, evaluating those changes against what you know your actions to be, and remembering what your consciousness was when you initiated and completed those actions, will allow you to understand more about yourself. There are people who do this exercise and don't see a letter. Do it again. It's not a clear, I look at my forehead and I see in black against the skin a Hebrew letter. But it's there for those who wish to look at it, for those who wish to know, for those who wish to find out many, many things. There is a third level, a third discussion of how to achieve Ruach HaKodesh, and that's to read the prophet Ezekiel chapter 5. It's called the vision of the chariot. Read the English translations, but it's better to read it in Hebrew. It's better to understand this connection. This is a very, there's so many levels of this, but Ezekiel's vision of the chariot is essentially a very frightening and transitory message, because up to this moment in time, prophecy existed. Prophecy, there were schools of prophets learning how to become prophets. Some of the techniques we've talked about tonight. Learning how to become a prophet, going to school to become a prophet. But there was a tradition taught that you could not become a prophet outside of the land of Israel. And now the temple has been destroyed. And Hashem needed to communicate to the nation his love and his enduring commitment to the nation. He needed to communicate that so that we could handle the exile. Not just the exile to Babylon, but the exile that we live in today. The exile that has gone on for 22,000 years. The exile. So he took Ezekiel on the banks of the river Kfar, which is not in the land of Israel, and he gave him a vision of the chariot, of the spiritual worlds and how they work together. And he was teaching him, he described, how do you elevate from one world to the next. He described that you first had to go through klipot, negativity, to be able to reach the light, to be able to hear that still, small voice within you. Read Ezekiel. Read the vision of the chariot. Understand the trauma that the nation felt. Feel the loss of the temple. Ask for the temple to return. The temple in you, within you. temple where you can connect to Hashem. On a surface level, we teach, ask a question, listen for the answer. Studying the vision of the chariot in the prophecies of Ezekiel will strengthen your connection to these levels. It's a little short class tonight. It's not the full hour. I'm open to questions. Does anybody have them? You should have them, so please feel free to email me or to call me. And I will remind you that there are techniques that I can teach you. And there are techniques that I have been taught that my teacher is very clear. Do not teach these techniques. You do not have the experience. Direct students who are interested in those techniques back to me. And I will do so if you wish. The techniques I've taught you tonight are all available to you. I caution you to clean yourself in preparation. Clean yourself physically. Clean yourself spiritually. Prepare to expand your consciousness. You may have heard, and I hopefully have never experienced, the trips of LSD, the mind expanding drugs. You have heard of this kind of consciousness. This is everything. The techniques that I have taught you about tonight will take you to a higher place, will take you to a closer to God experience than any of those mind-altering drugs. Those mind-altering drugs were developed for the purpose of doing a shortcut. Don't take the shortcut. You want to get close to God? Meditate. Use the Hebrew letters. The letters that you see on your forehead. The letters that you experience when you see the chariot. Use the Hebrew letters to call your Magid. Tomorrow night, we will continue in our sessions on the mitzvot. I think you will be greatly surprised and happy with the teachings about the mitzvot. Thursday night, we will read from the Zohar the portion, Parasha of Ki Tisa, which is the Parasha of the mixed multitude, which is our uncorrected selves, and the desire for the golden calf, which is still with us today. This Shabbat's reading, this parasha in the Zohar, is designed as a vaccine to protect us from ourselves, to help change our desire for another golden calf, the one that we constantly refer to and reignite almost daily. Come hear the reading. Come hear the Zohar Thursday night. tomorrow night and Thursday night will start at 10 p.m. Los Angeles time, even though I am in San Francisco this week, and all of these classes will originate in San Francisco. I wish you all well. Does anybody have any questions before I sign off? Kol tov yoel. Baruch Anta Adonai. Amen v'amen. Baruch Adonai Leolam. Amen v'amen. Good night, you all.